Great to have you with us for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. You know, if you're like most gardeners, you're always on the lookout for new varieties. And next on Garden Talk, we have a whole catalog of great and many unusual seeds to tell you about. Back with us, one of the leaders in the heirloom seed movement, Jer Gettle, founder of Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. And we'll talk to him about the latest edition of his absolutely fantastic seed catalog. And we'll hear about a few of his favorite new varieties. And of course, we want to hear from you. Have you found a great heirloom variety? Have you worked with Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds in the past? You can join in with your questions. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Jer Gettle, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, good to be here on a windy, chilly morning, or afternoon, actually.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's always great to see your catalog. How's the seed business going? Are people still as excited to grow their own food as they were during the pandemic?
A lot of people, I'd say the same volume. It's just a lot of people are growing a little less than they were right in the pandemic, but overall our numbers are staying steady. There's just some people are planting slightly less than they were through the pandemic, but overall our numbers are going up and down all season. It's like 1 week it'll be, you know, 30-40% higher than the following, and just up and down, but it's been a really busy, overall really busy season.
That's good to hear. I was wondering about, you know, there were some, a year or 2 years back, there were some shortages of seeds. Is that a problem anymore? Or
hello?
There were some problems with seeds. Are you hearing me, Jer? Oh, I think we lost Jer for temporarily. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll try to get that fixed as we talk with Jer Gettle from Baker Creek Seed Company. The whole seed catalog that he has, it is the one catalog that I really look forward to every year. It's this year's edition. Yeah, they call it the world's largest seed catalog, 532 pages long. And what I like about the catalog, well, the photography of the vegetables and flowers is fantastic. But I also like the stories. I mean, you can read this thing almost like a novel in places, because it tells the stories of so many of the folks who Jer, you know, he gets a lot of his own seeds. He certainly grows his own seeds a lot, but he gets seeds from all over the world, and that's why I always love talking to him. And I think Jer, I think we got you fixed again, did we not? We got you back. No, he's not. I think he's there, but he's not hearing us. So we'll see if we can get that. We'll see if we can get that fixed, because I really wanted to talk with him about a lot of the plants and the seeds that he's got for sale this year. And along with the stories of the people who grow the seeds that supply Jer and become part of his catalog, there are other kinds of stories as well. There are recipes that you're going to find. I found one that I thought, well, I got to try this, a vegan spinach dip as an example of one of the recipes. But there's also a corn pie in here that it, that intrigued me. I spent some time in Nicaragua, so I was happy to see that there was some Nicaragua pepper soup in this year's catalog. And I'm going to give that a try, too, Nicaraguan pepper soup. Jer, are you there now?
I hopefully am. Our cellular service will hopefully hold up now. I moved places, and I'm hoping we'll the Wi-Fi just keeps going down, so I don't know what's up. So,
well, tell us about this, your seeds and what makes them special.
Well, I guess the biggest thing is all the stories that are attached to the seeds. All traditional heirloom seeds, which are seeds passed down, you know, from generation to generation in most cases. And the seeds we sell come with not only family stories, but also stories of their regions, their countries, even valleys or mountains or places where they were developed. So it's basically they tell the story and history of local areas, local families, local people. And it keeps these stories alive, unlike a piece of furniture that might be passed down from family to family. These are actually one of the few living things that we can actually pass down to our kids.
Yeah, I look forward to getting the catalog, your catalog, every year, just and partly because of the stories, in addition to the seeds. And the seeds themselves, usually, I was trying to find right near the beginning, you have a little piece of, it's about our seeds. And they're non-GMO. Talk about that.
So, yeah, basically all of our seeds are non-GMO, which most home garden seeds are non-GMO. The only thing is, like a lot of the seeds, like in corn seed, if you just go into a grocery store and buy corn seed, a lot of it has been contaminated with genetically engineered crops. And home gardeners aren't technically allowed, though, to grow GMO crops because they're all patented and protected. And the problem is with the GMO crops, we feel, is them out of control, and they're being produced in a way so they can, in many cases, you can spray more chemicals on them, you can spray things on them that would kill a normal corn plant. But you know, it's changing the DNA, but it's also allowing the ability for, you know, farmers to increase the amount of pesticides and sprays they're putting on the crops. So it's not only the genetic change, it's also the amount of additional pesticides that are being used. So that's our main issue. So we test all of our corn. That's the main crop that is easy to contaminate every year. And then we spot test other crops as well. So to make sure we're not selling anything that's even contaminated with a trace of genetic engineering, we do the best we can to make sure the seed are pure and true to type. And, you know, old fashioned varieties like, you know, our grandparents would have grew.
And I know you try to you follow the rules when it comes to selling seeds with germination, at least within some minimum government standards.
Yeah, we follow the federal standards for seeds. The germination is meeting the federal standard in most cases. It's quite a bit enough.
Absolutely, there are. The countries, how many countries do you work with?
As far as shipping seeds, we've shipped seeds to over 150 different countries over the years. But in general, as far as where we get seeds from and collect seeds from, we've probably collected seeds from around 100 different countries, not necessarily us personally, but either us or our families or our friends or employees. And then people that we know, you know, through the whole seed industry. So right now, I think we have seeds from about 100 different countries that we offer. And then oftentimes we produce seed and get it in and try to tell the story of the seed.
And as I look through it, there are so many areas that intrigue me. Peppers. Pages and pages of peppers in the catalog, 35 to be exact, I think. Why is there so much interest in growing all these varieties?
Peppers just year after year have been one of our top-selling categories, especially hot peppers. Hot peppers has just seen continuous growth ever since we started the seed company. And actually, you know, 27 years ago when we started, the amount of hot peppers available was greatly, you know, reduced in this country compared to what it is now. So it's the demand has just continued to increase. More and more gardeners, you know, love hot, spicy food as well as peppers in general, sweet peppers as well. So it's just been a continual trend.
What are some of, I was going to say the most popular, but I'm going to ask you, what are some of your favorite varieties?
Oh, my favorite peppers, in general, that's a hard one to choose. Probably new to the top anyway, is the orange spice jalapeno. It's a green jalapeno, and then it turns sweet and orange as it ripens, but it's still spicy. It's a mild spice. So you get a mild, spicy jalapeno with a really sweet orange pepper taste. So that's probably my favorite, just general purpose, you know, not too spicy, not too mild. You still get a little bit of a kick. So it's perfect for making like a fresh salsa. But it's hard to pick on pepper, let alone, you know, the whole catalog in general. But that's definitely one of my favorites.
Jared Gettle, founder of Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. We're talking about his 2025 whole seed catalog for 2025. And I hope you'll join in. If you had some experience with the Baker Creek, I know a lot of people listening have. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email the email address talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Great to have you with us for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. Just a quick note, next week on the show, we'll be talking about growing berries, and Vijay Pandian comes back for that. So it's great to have him back as well. Right now, we're taking a look at seeds and talking the whole seed catalog with our guest, Jared Gettle, who's founder of Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. Questions for him or maybe an experience to share? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Just because I had some muskmelon not long ago, I just had a question about melons, and there's some beauties in your catalog. You've got one that is listed as your most popular melon, Kajari?
Kajari, yeah, that's been our most popular probably for about 5 years now, and it's just become by far our best seller. It outsells everything else by far, and a really productive, really beautiful little melon, and it comes from India, but it does well right through the summer. We've had them produced for like 3 months straight before. They're relatively early and they're small, so they're convenient for like one or two people. They're, you know, like a 1 to 2 pound melon, usually sometimes three, but usually average around that 1.5, 2 pound range.
They're absolutely beautiful, and they must taste pretty good too.
Yeah, they taste like a kind of a cross between a really good traditional, you know, muskmelon and, you know, with a honeydew-like flavor. So kind of in between honeydew and cantaloupe. As long as they don't get too much water, they're like all melons. They're really sweet as long as, you know, you don't have too much rain. They ripen really, really sweet, and they just produce continuously for us here anyway.
Yeah. Chris in Green Bay has a comment for us. Let's go there. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Larry, and to your guest also. I just have a comment about one of Baker Creek's workers there, Ryan Schumacher. He's become kind of a seed rock star in our house, and I just wanted to say that we really enjoy his short videos, and he makes something like seeds that are kind of uninteresting, very interesting. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Oh, well, Jared, nice words there.
Yeah, everybody, we get a lot of good comments on his videos. I make videos with him about 2 weeks every month, so it's always fun to have him down, and it's always fun to get comments about the different videos. So appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call. Bree in Door County, we'll go to you next. Hi, Bree.
Hi. I had a question about pepper seeds. I actually purchased some from Baker Creek along with some others. Normally, I have my seeds started, my pepper seeds started by Valentine's Day. However, I have had a busy spring. I haven't gotten to planting my pepper seeds yet, and I was wondering if I still had time to plant them indoors.
Oh, yeah, still plenty of time. It's a good time to plant them now. I wouldn't wait too much longer, if you wait longer, you'll get a later crop. But if you get them in now, you won't hardly notice much difference. You might be a week later. But it's still in March. It's a perfect time to, even early April, you'll be fine. If you plant them now, you could be setting them out, you know, the middle of May and or late May, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, and that'd be about the time to do it in Door County anyway, if I'm not mistaken. Bree, thank you very much for calling. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. I mentioned 35 pages of peppers in your catalog. You must have even more pages of tomatoes. How do you keep them all straight?
Tomatoes are always a challenge. It's always hard to pick which ones to list in the catalog because there's just so many. And there's so many we could be offering. But so every year we try to pick out our favorites and then always add some new favorites as well. But it's always a challenge because we could fill the whole catalog entirely just with tomatoes. But it's always a balancing act trying to figure out which ones to add each year.
The one that intrigued me was the Black Beauty. That's a dark-skinned tomato.
Yeah, it's a beautiful tomato, and it will vary anywhere from like 30% black skin to 100%, depending on the amount of light and also on the season. But sometimes you'll get ones that are totally, you know, almost 100% black skin. And they have a really great taste, too. It's just a really pretty tomato.
Yeah, I really liked it just because it was so unusual and be something that would be a conversation piece if anybody shows up to look at your garden. What about
They're definitely striking.
Yeah. What about starting tomatoes seeds at this point?
Right now is actually perfect for where you guys are at. Even here in Missouri, we're still starting tomatoes. We usually only start the tomatoes about 4 weeks before we put them outside, unless you want to transplant them into a bigger pot. But if you're just starting them in small six packs and you have a nice, warm, sunny environment where they're going to, you know, grow in a southern windowsill or a sunroom or a greenhouse, right now is about the perfect time to start them. We actually usually don't start them until if we're putting them outside, actually right about the 1st of April, because otherwise they tend to get too big and leggy. And I just like putting them in when they're rather small. They tend to take off better than if you get them a bit leggy and overgrown. And also, oftentimes, we will direct seed tomatoes if we run short on time, too. You know, just put them in about just right after the last frost. And they will be about 2 weeks behind your plants that you plant. But sometimes it works if you don't have time to start them.
I'm wondering about the catalog, just as an aside. I love this catalog, and I get it in December, usually, and earlier in December, as a matter of maybe mid-December. But it is such a treat to read. You can almost read it like a book. Not a novel, but a really nice book itself. Who puts this together for you? I mean, you obviously are a big role in it, but how does it all get put together?
It's a team effort. We work with we started working with a designer who is also customers, Bakersfield, California, and then a designer in Baltimore, Maryland. And then our team here on the ground works and provides photos and descriptions and data and information back and forth to these two people. One starts in the front of the catalog and one starts in the back. And by the middle of summer, it's all ready to go again. So.
Well, it's got to be an amazing process to get this done. How many do you ship? I mean, a lot of them go to bookstores.
Yeah, we send out, I think this year we did about 200 and some thousand of the big catalogs, and then about, a little over like 1.2 million of the regular smaller catalogs. So so the bigger catalogs we do just over 200,000 on.
Yeah. Well, I get an extra one always, and that goes to a good friend of mine who's a gardener, and she gets her Christmas present every year is the whole seed catalog.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
which I think she loves to get. I was looking through the readings. One of the stories had to do with Lucy Hutchings in the UK. And it was just kind of an interesting story to learn about her own seed program and how she provides seeds to you.
Yeah, definitely so many different people like her, people in Japan and India and just all over, you know, everywhere from overseas to right here, you know, local neighbors. But so many different people that love, you know, producing seeds, growing seeds, you know, sharing seeds. So it's a big network of, you know, literally thousands of people who we work with, either finding seeds, looking for seeds, you know, mostly just hobbyists, people that want to help us out and find something new for us. So every year we get, literally, we trial, you know, 1,000 new seeds every year.
And Lucy mentioned that she says the young people in the UK learn from video. They don't learn from print as much. So they have a QR code on the back of their seed packs. And you can the QR code takes people to videos relating to the planting and preparation and so forth of the seeds, which I think is pretty cool.
Definitely, definitely a lot more. Like we started the business, nobody was watching YouTube videos or anything online, really. It was all just, you know, still catalogs were, you know, the only way people, or magazines pretty much. And then within a few years, it all has switched. And now, you know, our number one way to get new customers is video advertising. And it's totally, and video, not just advertising, but video, social media, YouTube. But especially social media, so many gardeners learn about gardening from, you know, the internet now versus, you know, printed materials.
So the seeds that you got this year, some of the new ones that you really find striking, can you fill us in on some of those?
Oh, there's so many. One area where we got a whole bunch of new varieties is we've got quite a few new German zinnias, and zinnias are probably our most popular, besides sunflowers and zinnias for flower categories. But we've got a whole series of new zinnias. That's one area. We've got, you know, some really cool ones on. I'm trying to think of all the different areas. There's a little bit here and there scattered throughout the catalog. We've got some really, the other thing I was really excited about, probably the most exciting thing this year is amaranth, which a lot of people in the U.S. only grow as like they might have grew the love slice bleeding years ago or some amaranth in their ornamental garden. But we've got a bunch. We had one or two, and now we've gotten several more of ornamental but also edible amaranths that are like spinach, but they take the heat all summer long. They're more pest resistant than spinach, but they don't bolt. Like, you know, spinach goes to seed right away.
Yeah.
Whereas the amaranth, when you cook up these tender varieties, they taste just as good as, in fact, in the summertime, they're way better. So that's probably the most exciting.
Oh, that
if we have white and red and pink.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Say, do you try the recipes in your book, by the way? I see the saffron corn pie looks pretty good to me.
A lot of the recipes in the book, the people, when they made them, they would, I'd be working in the garden or whatever, and they'd give me a piece to try. So most of the recipes I try as they make. So, and so I get to try most of them. There's a few that I'm gone, and when they're making it, I miss them. But most of the recipes, it's always fun to be able to taste the different things that different people are making here on the farm.
You guys, it's a kind of a family operation, isn't it? I mean, there's a great photo of you with your family there on the inside front cover.
Our family, and then kind of, you know, our staff is kind of like family too after a while. Everybody, you know, a lot of the people have been here for years and years, so it's kind of, some of the employees have been here, you know, going on 16, 17, 18 years, so it's become kind of like a big family of, you know, our family personally, but then also the staff. So people that have been here a while, they kind of, they become kind of like your relatives after a while, so.
Say, are you having an event again this summer at your place?
We have an event coming up in early April, an event coming up in early May, and then an event in early October. And I can't remember the exact dates off the top of my head. I think April is April 6 and 7, but then after that, the other ones are, I forgot the dates. Each event will be about around 9,000 people at each event. So it basically fills up our farm for a couple of days.
I know people from Wisconsin visit. Jer, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Jer Gettle, founder of Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. And if you type that into the search engine, you're going to be able to find out the timing of those events that he just briefly mentioned there right at the end. Thanks for joining us today for Garden Talk. This and all our shows, a team effort. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod. Our technical directors are Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins on today, and our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening to Garden Talk, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.